Allison et al. In 2005 described the eastern hemlock as a foundation species in eastern North American forests due to its dense canopy, its shallow roots, and its unique litter chemistry. It influences environments in which they occur, and also the floral and faunal assembly, community assembly, in which they dominate. The continued prevalence of this foundation species is threatened by the invasion of the hemlock woolly adelgid, which has proven to be deadly to eastern and Carolina hemlocks, as exemplified by these standing dead giants at Joyce Kilmer National Forest. The losses from the the economic and ecological losses from the decline of the eastern hemlock has spurred a large response from forest managers that have implemented biological controls, and the focus of my talk today, chemical controls. And most of the chemical controls that are used against hemlock woolly adelgid contain the active ingredient imidacloprid, which is a systemic insecticide that is either applied at the roots or directly to the stem of the tree in order to reduce pest populations. And this is a widely used chemical in the private sector. You can buy formulations of imidacloprid at Lowe's or wherever you want to buy it, and also in the public arena, such as the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. Tom Romali and the hemlock woolly adelgid crew in that national park have treated many acres in familiar places like Albright's Grove and the trail to the Chimney Tops and Ramsey Cascades, and almost 200 acres at, on the Gregory Ridge Trail. So with these chemicals being used in places like the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, concerns have been raised about non-target effects on soil arthropods, which are important members of the decomposer food web, which is important in litter turnover and nutrient cycling, which takes complex nutrients from desiccated plant material and turns them into simpler forms that are again available for plant uptake. So they're ecologically important, and we need to determine the non-target effects from these chemicals. So in 2005, the U.S. Forest Service funded my master's research with these three objectives: to determine the dose responses of the lab rat of Calimbula to different concentrations of imidacloprid, that's the Folsomia candida. And also in field studies, we wanted to monitor active ingredient concentrations in the soil and also microarthropod community responses to the different treatments. So in 2005, we began our study in the Cherokee National Forest, and we had three replicate blocks of five different application methods of pesticides that are used against hemlock woolly adelgid. The first was the tree injection, in which an imicide solution containing imidacloprid is injected directly into the stem of the tree. The soil injection, in which a concentrated solution of Merit 75WP is injected at the base of the tree with the Kurtz soil injection device. And thirdly, and the last imidacloprid treatment is the soil drench, in which a dilute, high volume of a dilute solution of imidacloprid in the Merit formulation is applied underneath the drip line of the tree. And also included in our study was the foliar spray, which is important to note, does not contain the active ingredient imidacloprid, but rather is a horticultural oil spray. And it's commonly used, so included it in our study as well. And of course, untreated plots in this study served as controls. To begin my results, I'll first discuss the concentrations of imidacloprid that we found in the field. We collected soil cores from the field and then subjected the cores to a series of organic solvents designed to isolate imidacloprid, and concentrations were quantified using high-performance liquid chromatography. And what we found immediately following treatment, the drench treatment showed the highest levels of imidacloprid in soils. And control, we found none. And in the soil injection and trunk injection, we did find indications that active ingredient was present, but they were not statistically significant at a p-value of 0.05 using a Tukey-Cramer test from control. So that being said, we went back into the lab to determine how these imidacloprid concentrations in soil affect the Folsomia candida reproduction and survival. And what we found is, when we look back at these imidacloprid concentrations found from the field, is that the concentration at which half of adult survival or even adult mortality occurs falls on this red line at 1.38 parts per million, and that the concentration at which 50% reduction in Folsomia candida reproduction occurs in the lab is at 0.598, you know, in this green, this blue line. So when you compare the concentrations in, found in the field with the laboratory concentrations of tolerance that are shown by Falsomia candida, we expected to go into the field and find community responses, at least by Calimbula. And so we did this. We monitored communities' arthropods by looking at soil cores and bringing them back in the lab and extracting our microarthropods in high-gradient Tolgren funnels. And specimens were sorted to species and morphospecies and analyzed for abundance, richness, and species composition. So when we look at the proportions of abundance of different groups in the control plots, we find that the mites comprise almost 50% of the population and that Calimbula come in second at around 40% of the populations. I'll begin by discussing the whole pie here, if you will, the whole community. And we found that in the spring treatments, I should have mentioned earlier in our experimental design that we treated half of the trees in the fall and then half of this, the other half of the trees in the spring to test for differences in application time. So we found that in the spring treatment application time, we find a decrease in microarthropod richness in the drench treatment plot and a insignificant difference in any of the treatments in the fall. And that's the only difference that we found in the application time. So for the rest of the talk, I'll just be discussing the fall treatment. And so we don't find any differences in abundance and richness in the overall microarthropod community. But when we look at the species composition, which species are found and in what abundances, we represent this in a NMDS ordination plot here, and we analyze for statistical differences with analysis of similarity. So we look here and we see that the control plots come underneath this red circle and that the drench plots are significantly different than the control, and the control is also different than the soil injection and also the stem injection, which is interesting, indicating that root exudates actually affect species composition, overall species composition in these groups. So in order to determine which groups may be affected by this, we first look at the most abundant group, which are the mites. And I went and attended the OSU, the Ohio State Acarology Summer Program. And after 3 weeks of 14-hour days, I came home and identified thousands of mites. And it turns out that mites did not respond to any of the treatments. And so when we go back to our proportional abundance figure, we look at the second most abundant group, the Calimbula, and we find that the abundance is significantly decreased in the soil injection and the trunk injection, and even further decreased by the drench treatments. And also, when we look at species richness, the drench plots were shown to be significantly lower number of species than all of the other treatments. So in summary of the results, we found that survival and reproduction of Falsomia candida are affected by concentrations of imidacloprid in soils. And in the field, we determined that imidacloprid concentration in the drench treatments exceeded the LC50, and all the imidacloprid concentrations exceeded the EC50 for Falsomia candida in the field. And we found that in the spring treatments, the richness was significantly lowered in the drench plots, and that species composition was distinct in all the imidacloprid treatments when compared to controls. When we look at the different groups, the mites did not respond, and the Calimbula did, in fact, respond to imidacloprid treatments. And so the implications of this are obvious, that Calimbula are important members of the soil decomposer food web, which are important in litter turnover and nutrient cycling. So in forests, we have this plant biomass, which in roots and leaves and woody tissue, which eventually desiccates and falls to the forest floor and is not available for plant uptake. And so the decomposer food web, which consists of fungi and bacteria and arthropods, which are they feed on all these nutrient structures, these leaves and roots and wheat and woody tissue, and then they are fed by predators, which all excrete nutrients that are available for plant uptake, and then they can be turned back into plant biomass. So when we introduce imidacloprid into this system, we find that Calimbula are affected or decreased by the presence of imidacloprid, and how this affects the overall function of the ecosystem needs has yet to be determined. And but we also, on the other hand, need to consider we need to compare hemlock conservation versus these non-target arthropod impacts, because the loss of hemlock as a foundation species in these forests may pose a more serious threat to ecosystem level changes than the midi-clover it ever could. So untreated hemlock stands are declining, and they're being replaced by hardwood species, which then causes a whole suite of ecosystem level changes. And so in conclusion, I'd like to say that imidacloprid treatment, especially the soil drench, would not be recommended in areas where endemic Calimbula of conservation interests are known to occur. With that being said, there are no springtails listed as threatened or endangered on any list anywhere. And also, soil arthropod communities are known for being for their cosmopolitanism, in which they are widely distributed, and losing certain species in certain areas doesn't necessarily threaten the continued existence of that species. And also, finally, they're also known for functional redundancy, in which when you lose, say, a fungivorous guild like Calimbula, there are plenty of fungivorous mite species, for instance, which apparently are tolerant to these imidacloprid treatments. So, forest managers that are constructing control plans need to take all these things into account. And future work, I think it would be important to compare the disturbance caused by the loss of the tree versus the use of these chemicals. And also to further discover how the soil decomposer food web is affected by imidacloprid treatments, I think it would be important to look at how microbial communities are affected, and also the overall ecosystem function, the nutrient cycling and litter turnover and underneath these different chemical treatment plants. So I thank you, and I would answer any questions that you may have if I have time. Yes, ma'am.
Do the oil sprays offer an effective alternative to imidacloprid?
They do. They do. They do have shown to be efficable, but they may not be as long lasting of an effect, and so you would have to respray, and at a cost of time and money. So, but you know, I didn't really test the efficacy of those treatments.
Can you tell us briefly a little more about your sampling for the arthropods? How did you do that?
I took 15 centimeter soil cores, six per plot, and brought them back to the lab and pooled the abundance data to plot and compared the means of those three plots.
How far were your samples from the...
They were all contained within the drip line underneath the canopy of the trees.
How close were they to the point source injection, the soil injection?
They were not right at the soil injection spot. It was more randomly distributed. So.